I'd like to reconvene the Committee on Planning, Development, and Real Estate. This time I'm going to entertain a motion for approval of our agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moving to second. Is all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. This time I'm also going to entertain a motion for the approval of the minutes of the March 12, 2009 meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any questions, comments arising from the minutes? Great. Moving on to our action items, there was one item arising from our executive session, and that is a motion to extend the agreement negotiation period for the Shaw Florida Avenue. I move approval of a 120-day extension for negotiating a revised term sheet for the Shaw Howard University Florida Avenue parcels. A negotiated agreement will be brought to the board for approval. Your second?
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Second action item is a priority corridor network policies and standards. I'm going to ask staff to present at this time.
Well, good morning. Next page. In October of last year, we made a presentation about our six-year planning program for rolling out priority corridor network and individual routes along that network. And sorry, just a logistical issue. There were we've made some corrections to the presentation that you had in your booklets, and I hope that you all have them now. Skip. And I'm afraid that in the process we do not have page numbers this morning. So, but do you all have those presentations with you? It's in front. Okay, terrific. So at the time, we were requested to come back with a description of what a priority corridor network is, to give some definition to it so that when members of the board or others go to local jurisdictions requesting funding or other improvements related to a priority corridor network, that there was some ability to say, this is what the standards are, this is what you're getting for the investment that you would be putting into it. And so today what we wanted to do is we wanted to describe what we think the key component features are of priority corridors. We wanted to review service and performance standards and adopt, we were asking you to adopt these thresholds, design factors, and service elements. We've had the benefit of briefing a number of you on these standards, and so those, the key tables that contain those thresholds, factors, and elements are contained in the appendix. I'll refer to them in the body of the presentation, but we'll pretty much scoot through the presentation. The next page, the map of the network is a reminder of what the priority corridor network is. The next page is really just a reminder of what it is that we are trying to accomplish here. We're covering 50% of the existing ridership of the system, and we're trying to create a bus network that has essentially value independent of the rail system. It's a high-quality network where you can get from one jurisdiction to another jurisdiction in the region with connections exclusively on high-quality bus service. And the specific goals that we are trying to achieve are reductions in travel time by up to 25%, that we're trying to improve customer satisfaction by 15%, reducing incidents by 12%, and improving on-time performance by 15%. So these are the specific goals we are trying to attain. This page, the summary of guidelines for priority corridors, is really the reference to the tables that that we briefed many of you on that have been moved to the appendix. But the key point is that the corridor thresholds table just presented target thresholds for the type of service we provide, design factors described how the services would perform and what the equipment looked like, and then the service elements table described what needed to be in place at what time. One of the things we really want to do is we want to standardize the rollouts of our priority corridor services. We have implemented them in different ways and different times, sometimes with one set of equipment, sometimes with traffic signal prioritization, sometimes without. This basically says what we need to have in place at the outset that's required, what needs to happen in a 1 to 2 year term, and what needs to happen in the long term. And where we have included productivity objectives in terms of ridership per hour and so on, one of the things we wanted to clarify is what the targets, what the thresholds mean. And what we're saying is we would like the board to set these thresholds and set these targets. We would like it to have a margin of time to accomplish those goals and objectives. And so I think really the threshold we're looking for is continual progress towards achieving targets would need to be shown for projects to receive ongoing service support as regional service. That's the critical concept here, is we want to set thresholds, and progress towards the thresholds is what we should be meeting to keep these things as regional service. The next page, priority corridor service elements, lays all of these things out. Again, we've gone through this with many of you, but some of the key standardizing elements are, for example, I'll just go to the last line, local commitment. One of the things that we would like to see when we start out these services is we'd like to be able to document local commitments to service plans so that if there's a requirement, for example, or to provide traffic signal prioritization or some queue jumps, we'd like to see a letter, we'd like to see something that sort of says, Metro, here's what you're doing, you're providing this service, and is our part of the bargain, here's what we're doing for you. We don't necessarily need to see those things in place at that time, but we want that commitment in place. What we'd be expecting to see in 1 to 2 years would be an institutionalization of those commitments to begin capital project programming and things like that. We'd want to see them in a 6-year plan, and we would want to see implementation of improvements for bus service on the local side within, you know, two or more years.
Can I ask you to pause for a second? I think Mr. Linton has a question.
Well, I'm going to wait till you finish.
Okay. Then go right ahead.
Okay. One of the key elements of this is the introduction of our new Metrobus Express brand. This is a key element of the new priority corridor networks, and we're expecting to see these kinds of buses on all of the priority corridor networks, and not only on the priority corridor networks, but also on all express service that is being provided around the region. And this is going to be the standard brand, and it is going to replace Pike Ride, will replace Rex, Metro Extra, and it'll be the service that you see on, that it'll see the paint scheme that you see on Pennsylvania Avenue, Wisconsin Avenue, on 16th Street, on Route 1, and so on. But this is it. We've already put out marketing elements for the rollout of the S9, Express Yourself materials, which have been, I think, pretty popular. Next steps. We have a number of ongoing corridor studies. 28th in Northern Virginia is going on right now, the Q2 in Maryland. We want to deploy the new local and express buses that are coming in. We had them displayed at the board meeting last month. They are coming in now from a new Flyer plant. I think we have an initial order of 40 of the new express buses, and we'll be continuing to get more throughout the year and deploying them to the other routes. We want to complete a report on the priority corridor network, which will be include a corridor description of each corridor in much more detail than you've seen at this point, with sketch plans of what we expect to see in the future and what performance we expect to be getting out of the corridor. And then we went to evaluate and optimize the regional bus network for a report to the board later this year. And essentially what that's saying is we want to take a look at the entire bus network and all of the service that we're providing. We want to start taking a perspective of, you know, this is how much money we're spending on bus service right now. Is there a way that what is the biggest bang we can get for a network for that amount of money that we're spending, as opposed to incrementally evaluating individual routes. So we'll be taking a look at the sort of a son of regional bus study kind of approach. Recommendation here is that you adopt the proposed guidelines for the network, and we wanted to note that this is there is no immediate funding impact or any obligation that is imposed. It is for planning purposes only. There's no obligation that the board satisfy these projected requirements, but this is really an adoption of standards that would apply to the kinds of routes that we plan in the future. But we do think this is really a very, very important step forward in defining the service and setting standards for the future and setting expectations about what people can get and you know, putting the bus network on an even footing with the rail network. And that concludes my presentation.
Okay, thank you. So before we entertain motions, Mr. Linton?
Well, at some point, I'd like you to I'd like to understand why this is an action item. Planning document and also kind of a policy, so I'd like to get a sense of why you're asking for it to be an action item. Second thing is that several years ago we had a bus conference where we tried to focus on a regional approach to our bus systems. And I know one of the challenges always is that we don't own and control the real estate that our buses use. And two, we also have many of our regions where they have their own independent operating bus lines as well. Do we have a process to get buy-in for what we're hoping to do here? Because in order to do this, you really need a regional mechanism that everybody buys into, both in terms of their request for funding, the prioritization of their projects, coordination of those projects, and the willingness of the highway administrators to both allow and participate in the priority signaling, queue jumping, or any of the other stuff that you want to do. I mean, I think this region is probably one of the best in the country positioned to do that. The question is, do we have mechanisms and buy-in? Have this been vetted with the MPO or the other jurisdictions, and are they signing on for this, or is part of your effort to put, have this come before us and then use it to get them to sign on to it? So I'd like to figure out, you know, where you are with this and what your thoughts are.
Well, it's an excellent question, and that is really the crux of the challenge for us. We can provide the service, but we need to get matching levels of support from the folks who own the road. And so we're doing a number of things on a number of different fronts. And at the moment, having the board's approval of these service thresholds would really, you know, I think strengthens our hand to be able to talk about what the board is expecting of us, and we can go out into the region and say, this is what we need you to do. Right now, we are funding work at the MPO at TPB to assess the benefits of the priority corridor network, and we are doing a study that identifies that reviews the network to see where the greatest benefits would come, so that we can sort of point to the highway departments and say, this is where you need to make an improvement right here, because this is where the greatest transit benefits are created. We are partnering with FTA, the Breakthrough Technologies Institute, and TPB to host a conference in June that would be a discussion of bus rapid transit in the region. And we're trying to get people like Gabe Klein, the DDOT director, and Neil Peterson, the State Highway Administration administrator in Maryland, to come and speak at that, so that they're in a public setting and they can talk about what it is that they will do for bus. I think the more opportunities that we can get them in public putting this issue on the agenda makes them, it's more accountable. We're also working very closely with Montgomery County to do that same kind of advocacy with the Maryland Department of Transportation to help create bus prioritization on Rockville Pike, on Piers Mill Road, to support bus service in the county. And that's another way of trying to get to the owners of the road. And the third thing that we're working on right now, and we're working very closely with Mr. Zimmerman, Ms. Hudgens, Harriet Trigoning from DCOP, and folks in Montgomery County, is trying to define a project that the region could come together on to apply for the stimulus funds that are available, the discretionary stimulus funds, part of the ARRA. And we are trying to include projects that are as near-term as possible, that include the K Street Busway, that may include Viersmill Road, could include projects in Northern Virginia, and wrapping them together in a network and getting federal funds for that. This is another way of trying to get highways to the table, because it, you know, I think essentially what we're saying is these are funds that you would need to get highway department, but you only get them if you're supporting transit and the region is coming together on a transit proposal. So I'm sorry, that's a long answer, but.
No, it's not a long answer. Having been at the seat at one point when I, you know, was involved with both of this, it seems to me that there's two things that we need, both a carrot and a stick kind of approach. And one, I understand your desire to get Neil Peterson and all of these in front of you, but we've had these folks in front of us for years. Quite frankly, I mean, the highway administrators who come and have voiced their great support for what they would like to do to assist buses moving through. So we've had the kind of, you know, talking in front of audiences, and that has not made a lot of movement. I really do think you need a stick and a carrot approach. I think there's an opportunity with the new administration, the issues of the environment, with the greening of the environment, and with the reauthorization bill coming before, to think about something very specific in this regard. I have some ideas, and we'll talk with you on this, but I think, you know, we need to put some things in place in this region to really be a demonstration project for bringing that together and put together some incentives to pull everybody here with some prioritization from the federal government. So I have some thoughts and would love to work with those who are pursuing this, kind of moving that forward.
Chairman? Yeah. Just before you speak, Mr. Zimmerman, I just want to restate Mr. Linton's question as to why we need board action in this. Is this a new policy? Is there a fiscal impact? Are you asking for permission to spend funds on an exercise of sorts?
It's an adoption of policy. It's an adoption of
so
new policy.
So we're adopting a new policy.
I'm sorry, this is adoption of a new policy.
Great. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you. This is really leftover work from last year, something we had hoped to complete, but which has taken long enough that a lot of people may have forgotten at this point why we were doing it. So I guess that's first what we're doing is reminding ourselves. I think the short answer to Mr. Linton's question is the latter, which is that we need, in order to engage all these people, we really need to have our own position. And the reason we initiated this in the first place was that although everybody kind of talks about wouldn't it be great if you could do this or that with bus, for the very reasons that Mr. Linton spelled out, Metro is not in a position to implement much of that without a whole lot of other cooperation. And it has turned out that no one's going to take the lead in making any of that stuff happen unless we do it. We, you know, sometimes we get expressions of interest, sometimes we get indifference, sometimes we get open hostility. Most of the time we get just kind of, yeah, that would be nice if, but nobody in the highway department's going to say, we think we can solve your bus problem, come let us help. They may come to a meeting if you ask them to, and they may work with you if you take the lead, but if the transit agency for the region doesn't take the lead, it's not going to happen. So in many ways, this goes back to the bus conference that actually Mr. Linton initiated about 5 years ago now, and trying to see if we could actually make something come out of that. So the thinking, I believe, was let's first say ourselves what we think would be involved. What are the things that would make it actually a good workable network for the region? What do you need? And that necessarily means identifying things that Metro can do and things that Metro can't do, but somebody can do that's in the public sector somewhere, and then trying to pull everybody together. Now, at the same time, there has been vetting of a sort because Metro has, ever since that press conference, really, but particularly in recent months, been engaging people in all these agencies. And so some progress has been made. I'd like some clarity about exactly what it is that we are asked to do in this recommendation. We see that it's asking us to adopt as new policy two or three things, depending how you look at it. A priority corridor service threshold and priority corridor design factors that together are described as guidelines for service design strategies. And a guy, oops, let me go back to the recommendation.
Sorry.
Guidelines for Service Implementation Strategies, which are identified as priority corridor service elements. Now, there is no document that does any of that. The resolution refers specifically to these things as though they were documents, and it refers to them as having been dated March 12th. But we don't have before us such a document. There is in the appendix to the presentation a set of slides that have those bullet names as their headings.
These are, and those tables in the appendix are what is referred to. That if you adopt if you act on the recommendation, can we go now, John, to So this is.
Okay, so you're asking us to adopt this table.
This table and the next
first
table.
Thing.
Correct.
And the design factors one, which is another slide.
The second one.
Another
correct.
Table. And those together constitute the guidelines for service design strategies.
And the. Okay.
And the yes. third one, for some reason, needs two titles. It is both guidelines for service implementation strategies and priority corridor service elements.
And that is because this is establishing a time requirement for implementation. And this is the get to the standardization of the rollout and what we have in place.
Oh, that?
No.
So that's not what you're asking us to adopt.
Previous.
That's not it.
Back up. This one. Priority corridor
right,
service
this
elements.
One. This one. Correct. Why is this listed as priority corridor service elements here, but your recommendation has us adopting a guidelines for service implementation strategies? Which is it? You couldn't make your mind up which title you liked? I mean, or is the one intended to
that's
encompass
right.
more than what is in this table?
I think that the guidelines for service design strategies was the heading for service thresholds and design, and that the second bullet was the actual implementation of it. I'm sorry that's confusing. Does that explain it? I mean, that.
Mr. Chairman, apart from the substance of what's in here, which I think is fine, I do think this is a bit sloppy in its form. And I would hope that it could be cleaned up before it got to the full board, so that when you have board action, there is always here a resolution. And when the resolution refers to a document, and the policy really is by reference, not what's in the resolution, that there is a document attached to the resolution that is the action. We should never have something we're voting on that doesn't have that. A PowerPoint presentation is not an action.
Mr. Zimmerman,
yes.
Before it comes to the full board, we want to take these three tables.
Presentation does, but I don't think there's anything in the resolution, is there, that it does not talk about. Neither the resolution nor these tables speak to what corridors we actually have.
No, remember, that's because the board brought that to the board in October. The board actually adopted 24 corridors, and at that time also was a list for how additional corridors, future expansion corridors could be added to that. Was it repeated in here?
Okay, so the answer is that it's already adopted. Doesn't include things that pretty obviously should be part of any such strategy, and calling them emerging corridors doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think they've emerged. I think some of those are actual corridors, and the ones that are identified on slide 16 is one of the ones in the presentation that actually has a number on it, are not even the ones that I was talking about that I don't even see identified. In particular, we have two facilities now in Northern Virginia on which transit is preferred, in Shirley Highway and on I-66, both of which are high occupancy vehicle ways, one of which was built as a busway, the first BRT corridor ever built that they then chose to let cars on, Shirley Highway center lanes. And they're not part of our network. And that doesn't seem to make any sense to me in terms of simply describing the reality that we have. I mean, I'm all for these other ones, which in fact would be the emerging corridors. The existing priority bus corridors are 66 and 95, and they're not shown on any of this. So I think we need to amend the plan to include that. Furthermore, for the more proximate purpose to which Mr. Bodenheimer spoke, namely, working regionally for an application for a competitive grant, which I agree the description, I think that's something very important that we ought to be able to do. The best chance, and what I've specifically proposed at TPD, for an element on the Virginia side, is using those two corridors, because unlike some of the other ones where the question is within the three-year time frame, could we create that kind of thing we want, we have a pretty good chance on those corridors because we already have most of the running way identified. And so to not include that in our plan doesn't seem really to make a lot of sense. And I'll wait for a response to anyone who might have that. That's my major complaint about it.
Guys, want to respond before?
Oh. Sure.
Introduce yourself, please.
Jim Hamry. I'm service planner for Long Range Bus Program. The selection criteria for the 24 corridors was that they had to be carrying 5,000 or more riders a day and have other attributes, including jurisdictional priorities and the potential for running multiple types of services. None of the services that you describe on Shirley Highway or on I-66 currently meet that definition, nor were they recommended in the regional bus study for specific corridor type treatments that we've described here. Those are more local routes that get on the express and use the HOV lane to get to a rail terminal, as opposed to an arterial that has transit oriented development and uses and is a major corridor, transportation corridor of its own right. That's why they're not on the list that we have today. If direct us to, we certainly can add additional routes, but the idea behind having an emerging corridor table, as reflected here, is a place for us to put as a parking lot good ideas. We can continue to work on those, but allow us to move forward on what was concurred with as priority work efforts.
Okay, I'm sorry, I really don't understand that answer at all. We actually have two corridors on which you can run an express priority BRT type service now.
Well, you can't, because on the Shirley Highway HOV, you can't stop anywhere along that facility once you've entered it.
Right.
So what you're running is a local, the 17G, you're running a local route from Burke Center. It goes through a bunch of neighborhoods, and when it gets to the HOV lane, simply uses that as an express. That's different than the definition of BRT, which encourages ons and offs along the corridor, which is part of what the HOT program is studying to make a recommendation to provide some of those facilities.
Well, actually, I don't agree with that as a definition of BRT, but that's really beside the point. If we want to implement something in anything like the near term, you know, I'm all for talking about a lot of these other routes and how we might create a lane for them, but that's a big fight. I mean, the whole reason we're doing this is because in this region, nobody's giving up any. You know, nobody gives any bus lanes. They do it all over the place, all over the world, and in many places in the United States, but we haven't been able to break through if people understand it would actually help traffic to give up some lane to transit. We haven't managed to convince them of that. We haven't got them to try it even, really. But as it happens, we have two facilities on which transit does have preference and can now make good time. And we do have services running that I don't think are correctly described as local at all. In fact, part of the objection seems to be, well, that it's only local, but it's not local because people can't get on and off. I don't get that. If one of the goals is to see how we can move more people in the corridors, which is what we said at the front end, here we have a situation where if all we did was reestablish the transit priority across the 14th Street Bridge the way it was when the facility was built, where we have three spans, if we can get one lane in, tomorrow you could have transit service running from any point south, starting at least at Springfield, and dropping people off in the District of Columbia, relieving pressure on the rail system and transfers at Pentagon and all that, relieving pressure on the highways because cars would be taken off the road. All of that could be done with something that probably doesn't even require any capital change to the facilities. It's one of the only places in the region you could do that. Everything else we talk about probably involves building some stuff. So it's one of it's the low-hanging fruit on this. And if we're not there advocating for it, then what are we doing? If we want a project that is going to have to be implemented within 3 years, where better to put something together? And then you add to that the fact that the state of Virginia is in the process of turning this thing into, you know, hot lanes and arguing that it's going to help transit service and that therefore, you know, some kind of BRT service in this corridor anyway. Why don't we match those things up? It simply doesn't make any sense to me to exclude that when it's the only place you can actually run any kind of service like this that we're talking about.
So I'll keep this short. What you're asking us to do is to add something to how we were looking at priority corridors, and that is a way to use the existing infrastructure, whether it's 93 and 95, whether it's out on coming in from Dulles, whether it's up on 29 in Maryland, to do that and to add that to this package. What we've got in front of you and what you've adopted doesn't have that. Clearly we can do that. It's going to take us a little bit of time, not much, but we can put it in there to be ready to do that. But it wasn't how we started the project.
And I've been asking this question all along here. And, you know, the feds have standards for BRT too. The only facilities in this region that would have a chance of meeting that are 95 and 66. They're the only places you actually have lanes now.
Okay, so we've got a number of other board members that want to comment. Mr. Graham?
Well, this is a very important discussion. Mr. Zuman is here, and I just want to make sure that we have, you know, have a suitable conclusion here.
And I think that we agree with Mr. Zimmerman. It's just, and we have to go back and modify what we've already adopted to include those elements. We can do that. I don't know whether I want to commit to a time frame here, but we'll do it as soon as we can.
What would be a reasonable time frame?
Probably a couple months.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, let me just say, and then I'll yield. I will not be supporting this.
I think we got it.
I have two questions. Number one, on page 16, which we have to be on now, you indicate that the study year for Minnesota Avenue, Congress Height, et cetera, is 2009. Is that study underway?
Jim, can I ask Jim Henry?
No, it is not underway. We're just discussing with the DDOT staff yesterday the timing of the initiation of a study to look at the H line and subsequently the E lines to see when we could begin to do that as part of our coordinated workload.
On it is confusing that some of these pages are paginated and some aren't. Some of them have page numbers and some of them don't. But the guidelines for priority corridor service threshold, I think the comment that I'm hearing is that if we had greater frequency, you know, this would be a much better service. So even though at peak periods we have 10 minutes, when you get to the weekends, it's delayed every 30 minutes. Something that I'd like you to, again, re-examine.
I'm sorry. These were establishing minimum standards. That basically, it's saying you wouldn't roll out a priority corridor network service and have it be any worse than this, but you could certainly do better.
Well, you might want to set a higher minimum.
Yeah, higher minimum.
Lower minimum.
Yeah. Right.
More frequent.
More frequent.
I need all the help I can get here. More frequent. Okay. That's the point. And then the other issue is, should we consider as part of this plan, you know, an incentive to the local jurisdictions to adopt more aggressive capital improvements in exchange for our consideration of the priority corridors being activated in those jurisdictions?
Yeah, that's
something. Get a higher level of cooperation, but should we express that?
That's something that we gave a lot of thought to, and one of the specific thoughts that we had was to do something like a leads rating for one of the roads that we operate bus service on, and to give assigned points based on the degree to which the local jurisdiction had made improvements in the roadway. And, you know, you could say it'd be a bus silver, bus gold, bus platinum, something like that, but that we would establish certain points and a local jurisdiction that exceeded a certain threshold that did bus gold treatment, for example. You know, we'd say you need to do bus gold treatment in order for us to provide priority network service on your corridor. I mean, that could be that kind of incentive.
But it's not in here.
It's not in here, but no, that would be a strengthening of it.
Well, I think it would be because it's a form of stimulus in terms of encouraging the local jurisdictions. I know it would encourage the District of Columbia to make these capital improvements in the roadway, which are so integral to what we're talking about anyway.
Mr. Linton, then Mr. Benjamin.
Wait a minute. All I got was a...
I think you got a commitment that it would include it.
Oh, we did?
Oh, we can bring a proposal back to you for your consideration of it.
We're going to actually vote on this today?
Well, what I'm hearing is that it's now ready for an action. A number of elements that are missing based on the conversation, but I don't want to...
My problem would be fixed next week, Mr. Chairman. So I don't agree that it would take months.
I agree with you.
Well, and our issue can be easily handled as well if we had this change.
So I think just the only amount of time it would take would us to draft it and circulate it among the board members so that you had a chance to react to it before bringing it back to you. You could do that as well.
This is an action item.
It is an action item.
Okay, then I would move to incorporate the incentive.
There's nothing on the table.
Not as yet, sir.
Not as yet. I'm going to make the motion.
Well, let's hear from Mr. Linton first.
Oh,
we'll
yes.
Hear from Mr. Benjamin, and then you can make the action.
It seems to me that we have a lot of work to do. I don't have a readiness to proceed with amendments from the floor, in essence, to change this, and then we have a project coming for action as an adopted policy. I'm not quite sure if we're all clear on the direction that we're going. It seems to me that we have put together some policies and some guidelines that we're consistently applying around the region for identified priority corridors. I'm not disagreeing with Mr. Zimmerman in terms of the readiness of the two corridors that he's identified to be available for some federal stimulus money, but the question is, what was the objective when we carved this out from the very beginning? And if we were looking for some consistencies across the region, and we've identified some guidelines which identify those corridors, to add those two corridors at this point would be contrary to that. It would be good to do it because it would allow those two partners to move forward for grants for stimulus dollars. If that was the objective, yes. So one, I'm trying to figure out what are we trying to accomplish here as a policy. I thought, you know, I think there's different directions that's being asked from this board at this moment. Our esteemed councilman from this District of Columbia made another recommendation that in of itself has some merit. But I just think we need to, now that we're adding these things from the floor, I think this whole concept needs to be a little more vetted and thought about among our staff. And we need to identify what we're trying to accomplish. I'm not sure.
Mr. Benjamin?
Let me pick up a little bit on what Mr. Linton is saying also. First, I have a question. If we go back to the service thresholds chart. When we get down to this productivity targets,
correct.
These are productivity targets that would not be thresholds at the beginning. They would be at some later point, presumably.
That is correct. That's why we included the wording that, to state that progress towards the targets was what we wanted to achieve.
Sorry,
and these productivity targets are targets.
They're later, but we don't have any time at which that target needs to be met.
We have not set a, you know, you have to do it in 5 years or four or three. We said progress towards it is what we want to see.
So as long as you keep going up by one every year, you can start out at three and work your way up to 40.
Mr. Benjamin, also, you remember when we bring each item forward for the final approval, there was a goal for 6 months and a year, and those are the targets we're getting to. Depending upon where the corridor starts from, we may have a goal to be there in 6 months or a year. If the corridor itself is a little lower, it might take us 18 months to get there. So to be over specific here is difficult for us because it might vary a little bit for each corridor. But each of the corridors we've done so far, we wanted to be there within a year.
Yeah. Well, you've essentially made a point that I'm trying to get to, and that is that. First of all, I just want to double check on this particular one. This does not include circulator service, right? It's only local and express on the main line?
Correct.
Because if it's circulator, you're never going to get
to those
numbers.
The local and express.
No feeders. Okay.
What does that mean up there where it says circulator?
Excuse me? The productivity target is based on the local and express productivity
not
in a corner, not on the circulator.
I do think that a lot of these numbers that are in here do bear a lot of thought because we are setting a bunch of thresholds, which says things don't qualify unless. Now, one of the places Jim said was, okay, let's be flexible, and we'll have these targets for different time periods for different services. I have somewhat the same concern about many of these. When you get to something like, well, it's got to run until midnight. Well, what happens if it makes sense for a certain service to stop at 11 o'clock at night instead of at midnight on, you know, Sunday night? Does that say we can't do it, or are we going to have flexibility as each service comes before us? And I don't know quite what we're doing. That also gives me concern about Mr. Graham's wanting to change the frequency number. Yeah, I agree that a better frequency than 30 minutes is highly desirable, and that's what you would want to do. But do you want to set your threshold that if it isn't 15, you never will do it, or if it isn't 20, you will never? 30 gives you plenty of room to maneuver there, and any particular one could be much, much better. We're setting minimums here. So I wonder how much flexibility we have for specific services, and I wonder whether these are, in fact, the thresholds that we absolutely want, and whether we need to think these through a little bit more. Before we move forward.
The initial response was that since we're hitting these targets on the priority card and network services that we're providing already, that we were comfortable, that we didn't feel like we were close to the edge. You raise a good question, and I'm not sure I have a ready answer for you, but the fact that we were meeting these targets on the services we're planning already made us feel like these were reasonable targets to set.
Well, and I don't mind a reasonable target as long as for a specific service you have some room to maneuver, so that, for instance, if a service, if it makes sense to start some service after 6 o'clock or end it before 11 o'clock, or, you know, one of the, I think the frequencies are low enough that you probably don't ever want to make them any worse than that. But
and there's no question that this is a balancing act, because on the one hand, we're trying to set a standard and to say this is what you're getting, and at the same time, obviously, you want to preserve some room for maneuverability. And the question is exactly where you, you know, if we provide ourselves an enormous amount of maneuverability and flexibility, that just sort of vitiates all of the strength that you get from the thresholds. So I'm not really sure where, that seems like we're asking for guidance on where to set that, but we think we'd like to set strong guidelines.
Well, let me make it, Mr. Benjamin.
Go ahead and make your comment. I do have one more comment beyond this.
That's going to make a suggestion. There seems to be a whole lot of new information or information that wasn't included in recommendation that's coming before us, including two routes that should definitely, I think we're all in agreement, should be priority. Something is suggesting that for them to become priorities, there may be, need to be a modification of the policies. Mr. Graham talked about the need for incentives, particularly in routes that go through the District of Columbia, and we just had a conversation on what's kind of the right threshold. I'd like to recommend that we ask staff to work with us over maybe the next week to two weeks, certainly not 2 months, it was suggested by the staff, to see if we can get some of our suggestions incorporated into these guidelines before we move them forward.
I think that's important, because I'm looking at service design, and I think maybe as we continue to flush this out, it's are we thinking broadly or narrowly at what we're trying to serve? And I just look at the one-way travel time, 60 minutes each direction. Explain the numbers you've chosen and what we, as we carve this out.
Well, the one-way direction would be from the start of the trip to the end of the trip. We would try and operate no longer than an hour in each direction.
Okay.
We have some routes that are an hour and a half and even pushing 2 hours in a single direction, and they are very hard to manage and to really link to the markets that they're trying to serve.
Okay, so really that's a broader descriptor,
yes,
rather than a narrower descriptor.
I had one more comment.
Yes, Mr. Benjamin.
Page 17, please. One of the concerns I have, you have the Veers Mill Road route here, which the Q2, I presume, or the Q's
right.
series is what you're talking about.
Correct.
Where we're already working with the community on coming up with something better. I strongly support this whole effort. You all know that. I think it's exactly where we need to go as an authority. And everything that we need to do here is, you know, everything that you are doing is the kind of stuff that we need to do. I also strongly support the idea that we are planning this at this point. One of the concerns I have is the situation that we find where Tuesday night there's going to be a hearing along that route where we're going to be cutting service on that route. And at the same time we're saying, well, but we're going to have a substantial increase in service. I have a hard time knowing where the money is going to come from to do these, even in the state of Maryland, and then we'll go a little bit broader, but in the state of Maryland, where we're at one and the same time telling people we're cutting your service today, but we're talking about substantial expansions in the service. So unless we can find ways to make savings other places that we can reinvest, I have a real concern. And part of this then becomes, so, you know, here's the Veers Mill route that we're dealing with quite immediately. You're talking about in one and the same year doing cuts and expansions. All of these are regional routes, to the best of my knowledge. They wouldn't really qualify unless they were regional routes, which says that any time anybody does one of these, all the rest of us are affected. well, if today I don't have enough money to pay for the routes in my own jurisdiction, where am I going to be when some other jurisdiction wants to increase their service, which causes our subsidy to go up? This is all good to do. How are we going to do it right now? And my strong concern here is that we find ways to make savings in less productive service that will hold everybody at least for the next year or so, and then we'll see how the economy starts to improve, neutral on their subsidies. Because, and I'm not saying that this has got to be a lockdown thing, but I want to give advance warning, because one of the first things we want to do is start to replace some of the service that we're losing next year. I don't want to go to public hearing and say to people, well, you lost your service, and because I have another really bright idea, you're never going to get your service back. That doesn't make sense.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yeah, I'm going to react to a couple of those things. There's some good points there. In a way, it's unfortunate that Mr. Cato can't be here for this particular discussion. One of the reasons for looking at this and the way we are, and this ties back really to the previous discussion, the previous table, when you were looking at the standards for the service, and Mr. Bogheimer, I think, was trying to say this, that you want to make sure you don't want to have the standard be one we could meet today. You know, if the standard for service is one we actually could meet, then this is a waste of time. The point actually is to make it something we can't achieve because the road system won't let us. Because that's the point of this, is to be able to go and say, how do we make the road system make it possible for us to make such a schedule? That's the whole reason for this exercise, really, whether it's traffic signals, use of right-of-way, jumpers, any of these things. Now, when they did Metro Rapid in L.A., which is not their BRT, but a priority bus system that runs in mixed traffic, the main reason they did this was because they had a court order to provide more service and no money to buy any more buses. And so they had to design service in a way that they could carry more people with the same buses they had. And they were able to do that because once they got the road system to work through the signal prioritization and the things they did, they could cycle the buses faster. They worked backwards from that. They said, how do we get the buses to cycle through quickly enough so that the same number of buses carry more people? And that's part of the point of this, that is part of addressing the point Mr. Benjamin was just making. It's not only a matter of, you know, can we find money somewhere else, but actually can we make the system function more efficiently so that we can actually deliver more people within what is more or less the same budget. Now, that doesn't mean we're not ultimately, in order to do this whole thing, going to have to put more money into transit service. And long term, I certainly think we do. But there is something to be gained by being able to use the road system more efficiently to move all these folks. And that's the thing I want to make sure we don't lose sight of as we're looking at what the standard should be. It is intended to be a push. It is intended to be something we can't do now, something with which we go to the people who run the highways and say, here's our idea, here's what we want to do, and that we try to make a regional priority so that everybody involved understands our mission is to move people, here's a way to move more people, but we got to make the road system work to do that across all the jurisdictions. That, I think, is the most important product, and I hope we can get to that fairly soon. I would support your proposal for a fairly short delay in this, but I would also ask, can we do something for the really proximate goal of being able to participate in this regional idea for an application for this competitive grant? TPP is going to meet next week, and it would be nice if we could say something about Metro's posture, Metro's participating in those meetings. But again, I think we need to be prepared to support something. The district has a component of it. I think they're still struggling in Maryland to figure out where they are. You know, we have a Virginia proposal. If we can bring them together, this region might be able to win something.
Well, you can certainly count on the district to bring a proposal again. In fact, I talked with our transportation director, Dave Klein, about this earlier this week. But I think you made a good point. Everyone's made some very good points today. But unless there is an objection, I think I'm going to agree with the rest of my colleagues that we defer any action on this item until maybe your meeting on April 23rd. There are no objections.
One practical concern I have about that is that the mail out is next Friday, so that gives us between now and then to nail all these things down, and I'm not sure that's enough time to develop and vet all this material satisfaction?
Well, I would say no later than a month from now. But I mean, someone on the staff threw out 2 months earlier on. I just think that's too much time.
If, Mr. Chairman, if I can make a suggestion,
I
would.
Your schedule, Mr. Chairman.
So, obviously, taking in all the comments and suggestions the committee have, that if we can come back in a month in the next planning meeting.
I think there's the consensus on the board that you should be able to provide information by April 23rd. So we really appreciate that, and we'll make ourselves and our staffs available to work with you. All right, I don't think there are any other action items, mercifully, on this agenda today. Our next committee meeting is April 23rd. Our meeting is adjourned.